you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5. Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our series profiling talented local artists involved in the entertainment industry, today I am joined by April Noel. April is a very talented actress and screenwriter. She has a few events coming up that I'm sure you're going to want to check out after hearing about them. Welcome to the show, April.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing absolutely great. I am so thrilled to have you today. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about.
We do.
I thought first we'd get the audience accustomed to a little bit about your background.
Okay.
So audiences have seen you in dramas and comedies and straight shows and musicals. How did you first get involved in performing?
Well... back in the Stone Age. No, actually, my mother married a very nice man named Mark Greenleaf, who worked at the Opera House. He retired just a couple of years ago. And I didn't really know that acting was a thing, really. It never really occurred to me until I started talking to him. And I spent some time at the Opera House because, like, you know, he had to go get something on the weekend or whatever. And then I started really looking into it. So in middle school, I was part of the choir. And then during high school, I started getting a little bit more involved. And in my senior year, that's when I really started to get involved in theater. And then after high school, I started doing the community stuff.
And do you have any training in the arts?
I do. I went to McHenry County College. I trained under Jay Geller. And then I had some wonderful voice teachers. Steve Shelley, who's still over at MCC, wonderful voice teacher. Tara Singer. I studied music theory, which I'm a nut about. And everybody realizes that when I start getting on a roll. And then I've also trained at Actor Studio Chicago. I did some recent stuff with them. And then a lot of the other stuff is kind of like individual workshops and self-taught.
Very neat. What is the appeal of acting?
Bottom line, basic answer, telling a story. Being a part of a character that helps move people, whether it's to move them to love or to cry or to be angry about something or to be passive about something, just being a part of that and helping people get into this whole new world.
And now, can you explain the feeling of being on stage and hearing applause?
Oh, hearing the applause. I'm getting goosebumps right now. I don't know if there's really a way to describe it. It's affirmation. It's positivity. It's humbling at points. Actually, I was doing Zooming the Movies with Kevin Pollak, and I hosted a couple. And I eventually found a YouTube clip of applause. It was an old 1940s, I think, movie. And it was just an applause that builds and builds and builds and builds. And I didn't realize it till maybe like 11 months to maybe a year, that doing stuff over the internet, we were missing that applause. There was that thing missing. And as soon as we all heard that applause, we're like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's what we're missing. We're missing that. So I guess in that point, it's vital.
And do you ever get stage fright?
Oh, yes. Oh God, all the time. I always tell people that if you don't get stage fright, you don't care anymore.
Interesting. Okay. What do you do when you get the stage fright? How do you conquer the nerves and get on stage?
I get on stage. To be perfectly honest, I will be, to quote a My Little Pony, thanks to my young daughter, I get very nervous-sighted. So I get nervous and excited at the exact same time. And most of the time I can't stop smiling until like the split second before I'm supposed to go on. And then I get into whatever I'm supposed to be and go on stage.
What about auditions? Do you get nerves at auditions?
Auditions, yes. Callbacks, yes, but not as much.
Explain.
So an audition, you're bringing yourself to the director when you sometimes, well, I should say 80% of the time, you don't know what they want. You're just kind of interpreting what you have and giving them what you think the character would be without direction. And then from that point, the director has to decide whether they see you in the vision that they have. So that's really the, you've got to win them over.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to callbacks, that's when you get to play because you already know the director likes you. Now it's okay. I know they like me. Now I can have some fun. Now I don't have to convince them that, you know, I'm something to be seen. They already know I am. Now it's showtime.
That is a very positive attitude. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had the pleasure of seeing you in a number of diverse roles, and I had the honor of appearing opposite you in August Osage County. Do you have any favorite roles that you've played so far in your career?
I played Poppy in Noises Off.
Nice.
Many years ago at the Opera House. That was a great one. I love playing Karen, August Osage County. You are a wonderful opposite, sir. Such a gentleman.
Oh, thank you.
You are a pleasure to work with. I played Juliet in People versus Friar Lawrence. So it is the story of Romeo and Juliet, but it was set to music by Ron West, and it kind of calls out some of the BS in Romeo and Juliet. So that was very fun. I got to play a 15-year-old who was having temper tantrums after singing a high A.
Now, one of the things that really impressed me during August Osage County was the depth that you went into with your backstory. Is that something that you do for all roles that you take?
Absolutely.
What is your process?
Well, first I take the situation that you're given, because it's a big thing that plays and movies and all that stuff, they never happen on a regular day.
Right.
You know, that this is a point in the person or the character's life where there's either a change or a shift or something vital is happening to this person. So I start there. What's happening? How am I changing? Where do I start and where do I end? So then I go back and go, okay, well, what is this person's, you know, family life? Do they have the mom? Do they have the dad? Do they have brothers, sisters? Where do they work? What are they used to? What do they like? What do they dislike? I even go into music. What kind of music do they listen to? Because it really shapes a person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, in the ways that they say things, the way that they look at different things, interpret different things. You kind of, if you don't dive into it, you don't have that depth to the character. It's just like, this is the day, and this is the only thing that shapes the person.
Right, right. Now, we've talked about some of the roles that you've had the pleasure of playing. Do you have a bucket list of roles that you would look forward to playing?
If anybody's doing Wait Until Dark.
Oh.
Please send them my phone number. I am very much willing to go on stage without my glasses and be legally blind for the entire role. That's actually kind of a bucket thing. I would absolutely love to do that. I don't know. It's like a method acting thingy, although I'm not exactly a method actor, but that's kind of the thing. I have this, I guess, a little bit of a selfish daydream that I go out there and I give a fantastic role and I'm not wearing my glasses. Then I come back on and I am wearing my glasses. And I was like, oh, she did it blind. She's even better than we thought. But yeah, that's one. I don't know. I guess there's the basic. There's Rose in Gypsy Rose Lee. That'd be a great one to do. Come From Away, I think, would be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody's looked into that. But yeah,
now
I think Wait Until Dark is my big one.
As a stage performer, do you have a preference of drama, comedy, or musical theater?
Nope.
Okay. What is the appeal of each?
Musical theater, the singing more so. I love singing and I love dancing. It's always a good time, no matter what you're doing, especially if you're the villain. comedy, finding those little places where they don't expect you to get a laugh, but you do. I love throwaway lines. I love trying to find those. For those who don't know what a throwaway line is, if you ever see a character and they just kind of say a line and it's just out there, it's a kind of a throwaway line. But sometimes that's funnier if you throw away a line. Drama, the intensity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you get those people and you get them sucked in and it's the end of something and you get that split second where there's no applause because they're like marinating in their own feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the sweet spot for those drama roles.
Now, you also have been pursuing film and television work. Do you have any projects coming up in film and television that you can tell us about?
I've done some background. Unfortunately, a lot of the times when you do background, you have to sign...
non-disclosure.
Non-disclosure. You can't tell them what you're on, what happens. So I did a couple of films. I've done some shows that are... the TV shows that are being filmed in Chicago. I did just film my first short called Monthly Subscription. I'm working on editing that. I did a radio hour, which I just quote unquote filmed. I recorded for Andrew Pond and his audio hour. I wrote a feature script, which I believe we will be talking about later on.
Yes.
And then I'm starting up an improv group in Woodstock.
Now,
with my wonderful fiance, who I have with me.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Hello, wonderful fiance. No, April, why don't you tell everybody who your fiance is who's joining us?
Brian Freeman.
And
we actually met in improv.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell us that story. You can't drop that and not give us the story.
do you want me to?
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it? Okay. So I tried out for William Street Rep in 2017, actually, and my audition was Bupkis. I left there going, nope, they ain't gonna take me. That was rubbish. That was horrible. I don't know what was wrong with me that day. So I tried out the next year. You know, I did some self-improvement and came back, and they decided to take me. And Brian and I just became really fast friends. We got each other, and we talked, you know, a lot, and just worked really well together. And, you know, my friend became my best friend and then became my boyfriend. And now he's my fiance.
That is wonderful.
Yeah. I basically said, let's hire the cute redhead. So she got the gig.
And what are the keys to doing good improv?
Yes. And you got to say yes. And whatever your scene partner says, you just go along with it, and the funny just happens by itself. If you say no to something, you end up shutting down the scene.
Listening. Yes. Oh, that was a hard one. Listening.
Oh, good. That's true.
Listen.
Yes.
The ears.
Now you're involved in the improv group. Any suggestions? Tell us about that group.
Well, before the world shut down in March of 2020, Brian and I had been talking about creating our own group. And then Betsy from the Opera House contacted me and said, hey, do you have an improv group? And I'm like, hey, I could. So we got together with Tracy Landman and Andrew Buell and did a show. Now, we are not the reason the world shut down.
But we did help.
We did. Well, we weren't that bad. No, it was a really good time. We had put some Facebook stuff on there. And I was in talks with the Opera House to create this, you know, a regular thing. And then the world shut down. So the world starts opening up and we start talking to the Opera House again. So we would really love to come back. So in June, we did like a little bit of a comeback show. We had Tracy with us. Unfortunately, one of our other ones was ill and Andy, who I previously mentioned, was in a show himself. He was in, what is it? The Mount Prospect one, I think it was. But yeah, so we came back and we started talking. He was like, we really like to make this a regular thing. So we added on some more people. We added 3 more people on, and we included Trace Gamache. So we've got a pretty good group settling into the Left Stage Cafe over in Woodstock.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, my guest is talented actress and writer April Noel. You can catch her improv group, Any Suggestions, on July 31st at the Stage Left Cafe in Woodstock at 8 p.m. There will also be a table read of April's screenplay, A Year to Remember, on August 29th at the Stage Left Cafe at 2 p.m. Now, April, what makes improv so much fun to watch?
You know what? I think Tracy made a really good point. The audience is waiting for us to flub.
Ooh.
They want to see a train wreck. Because they know that nothing is scripted. We don't know what's going on. They don't know what's going on.
We
so
never let them down.
That's a lie. We let them down sometimes. But yeah, I think that's really it. Is that nobody knows what's going to happen. And it's, you know, it's kind of on the edge of the seat. Like, are they going to do it? What's going to, you know, that kind of deal.
Now, you have an improv night coming up on Saturday, July 31st at the Stage mm-hmm. Left Cafe in Woodstock. For somebody who has never been to an improv show, what can they expect?
Have you ever seen the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes, love that show.
That is improv. That is what they can expect. It's basically making stuff up right there based on audience suggestions. That's why the group is Any Suggestions.
And what,
what we do is we'll play. We basically put on a scene or play a game based on the audience's suggestions. And so everybody gets to be a part of the show, which is nice for the audience.
And well, let's switch gears. Let's talk a little bit about your screenplay, A Year to Remember. Now, you have this talent for writing screenplays, and we're doing a live table read. What is that? What is a live table read?
Some people might also know it as a reader's theater. Basically, I have a group of extremely talented people who have been with me at least half the time, some of them the entire time. And they're going to have the script in front of them. There's no sceneries, no props really, or anything like that. And it's all in front of an audience. So they get to watch the story unfold with the actors reading the script.
And can you tell us the premise of A Year to Remember?
Yes, I want to give you a little bit of background as to why I wrote it, and then I can give you the premise.
Sure.
So my wonderful stepdaughter, Andrea, and I were talking one day. It was a little bit of a rough patch. And I was joking around. I said, hey, we can go sit on the couch and watch rom-coms. She's like, I hate rom-coms. I'm like, what? She goes, they fall in love in a week and then they live happily ever after. That doesn't happen. That's not real life. And I'm like, okay, yeah, true. And I don't. A couple days later, I started thinking about them. I'm like, yeah, there should be more movies, because I can't say that there aren't any. There should be more movies where it takes longer than the week or the month or something for people to get to know each other, really fall in love, and have a meaningful marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a meaningful relationship. I didn't want to do anything from scratch, because that would be following the formula too much. So I started thinking about, actually, my wonderful fiance, Brian, what would happen if he had lost his memory and he didn't know who I was? He didn't know who my daughter was. He knew who his kids were, but if he lost his memory and had years of it taken away, he could have it where it's like he remembers his girls being in the house and now they're gone.
Wow.
All of that is just gone. And there is an amnesia that can do that. It's called retrograde. And I actually touch on it in the script a bit, where they remember how to do things So kind of like what we would consider muscle memory, but they don't have the pathways to events or people's names or things like that. So what happens is that this, unfortunately, this gentleman is in a car accident near just after New Year's Day. He wakes up with 5 years of his life gone. And that includes meeting and marrying his current wife.
Wow.
His daughters are older than he remembers them. He doesn't remember his stepdaughter. So there's three girls in the house. He got a promotion at work he doesn't remember. He is waking up just in a memory of just freshly getting divorced from his first wife. And he was not in a good place there. So it's a story of the entire family going through this period of what do we do? What is dad going to choose us? Is he going to choose something else? And he's got major influences going on and saying, no, choose this part of your life, choose this part of your life, choose this part of your life. And, you know, he needs to figure that out. Meanwhile, his current wife, she's convinced him to stay in the house to try and work on this marriage because she doesn't want to lose it. But she has to have this struggle of she's talking to her husband who's right there, but she's talking to him as if he's kind of dead because who he was and what he was is no longer there. And she's telling him all these memories and these events and what had happened, which she's looking right at him. He's right there, but he can't share that with her. So she's got to kind of morph her relationship with him and her daughter, the gentleman's stepdaughter, that father is in the picture, and he doesn't really sway Connor, who is the main character. He doesn't sway Connor, but he does talk to Elle, and so you get the feelings of all the daughters, and they kind of come forth with what they're struggling with. You know, I just really wanted to explore everybody's side of what might how people might feel if this had happened.
And what is the meaning of the title, A Year to Remember?
Audra, played by Allison Hage, a wonderful, wonderful actress that I've had the pleasure of working with. Her character actually says the line, A Year to Remember. And her suggestion to Emma, who is the wife, says, talk to Connor and have him come home and give him a year in the house. You know, there's no pressure or anything like that, but he needs to be in the environment that he left. He needs to be in the house. He needs to be in the family home and make the deal that it's a year. And then after a year, you guys talk about it, whether he wants to stay, whether he wants to go. But it's like if he leaves and goes to a hotel or he goes and stays with his buddy Roger, he's not as likely to choose his family because he's going to be out on his own. And in the point where he is in his mind, he's freshly divorced from his wife. And, you know, Roger kind of touches on what he was like after that. So yeah, it's really Audra, the mom, who's like, give him a year to remember who he was. See if anything comes back. Give him a year to choose what he wants.
Now, you've done several readings of the screenplay at various stages. How does having the actors read the script help you as a writer?
I can hear the characters in my voice. I'm not clinically insane, not diagnosed. But what I want may not be what other people are seeing through the words. So having someone else read the words and have them play what I've said helps me either tweak how I want it to read so that other actors, you know, further down the line will know what I'm talking about or what I want to play. And also if there's a line that makes sense to me, but for other people, it's like a tongue twister. It doesn't sound as good as it did in my head.
Now we have this stage reading the table read coming up on August 29th at Stage Left Cafe at 2 PM. What have you learned as a writer since working on this project?
How to get down to the nitty gritty, how to get down to the bare bones of what you want to say, and then building off of that, because there's so much fluff in your head and you've got so much that you want to say that it could just take forever and you can, you know, dive right into it. So I've actually gotten pretty good at writing a skeleton script. It's like very to the point, what I want to say in each scene. And then after that, I'll add some meat. I'll add some comedy or some drama or some one-liners or something like that.
And what's the next steps for A Year to Remember?
Well, it is now copyrighted.
I'm
looking into publishing, possibly getting some producers and putting it on stage. I have had many of the people that have read it that they want it to be on stage, and I'd love it to be on stage. But yeah, that's kind of the next steps. I'm just excited for having it out there and getting the audience's opinion. And, you know, that's the step, next step for me. And then after we do that, I'm like, okay, now the next step.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Now, be sure to check out April Noel's improv group. Any suggestions on Saturday, July 31st at 8 p.m. at the Stage Left Cafe in Woodstock? There is a suggested $10 donation at the door and no drink medium. Then you'll also want to make plans to catch a live table read of April's screenplay, A Year to Remember, on August 29th. At 2 p.m. at the Stage Left Cafe. Donations are not required, but are appreciated. There will be a script signed by all cast members that will be raffled off after the table read. April, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I hope that you will come back in the future and tell us about some of your success stories.
Oh, I would absolutely love it. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you so much for being such wonderful guests.